As they get older, many people still want to stay independent for as long as they can, even if that means getting some help. There are about 76 million baby boomers heading toward retirement, and there may not be enough nurses and aides to help them all continue living at home. So researchers are designing techno houses that offer a solution. From member station WABE in Atlanta, Joshua Leves reports.
Picture a house that knows you as well as you know it. It knows which room you're in and what you're doing. It makes sure you take your medicine and get enough exercise. A house that remembers things when you forget. Researchers say this kind of house is not so far in the future.
Right now we're in the Broadband Institute Residential Laboratory. It's a three-story house that we use to design and test different types of future home technologies.
Dr. Elizabeth Minot is with the Georgia Institute of Technology. She and a team of fellow researchers have filled this house with all the standard appliances, a dishwasher, stove, refrigerator. And here everything is connected to a central computer system. Lab manager Thomas O'Connell says that same computer connects to tiny cameras all over the house.
They're just looking straight down, and they're doing what's called blob tracking. They try to figure out that you're a person and that you're moving around. That's pretty difficult for computers to understand.
So those little holes on the ceiling are cameras that will one day be able to tell that I'm a person walking around this floor.
Based on what room you're in, you know, I can know that you're, I know you're in the kitchen, and I know what kind of activities go on in the kitchen. And we can start running algorithms on that kind of thing, figuring out, are they cooking? So notice, what is the stove doing? What is the refrigerator doing? That kind of thing. And once we know what they're doing, we can kind of say something about their activity level.
The house's computer system tracks what's going on in each room and keeps a record of how much total activity there is in a day. That information could be sent automatically to the person's children. Dr. Elizabeth Minot.
When we started doing research in this area, we went to many assistive care centers and said, well, how does this place work? Why do people move into an institutional care setting? And what we found out is that in 80% or more of the cases, it's the adult children of elderly parents that make the decision to say, mom or dad needs to move. And so we realized if we were going to do this research, we had to take into account what the kids needed to know about their parents.
The information would be relayed over the internet, and on a small touchscreen computer, a family member would get a digital portrait of his or her loved one miles away. The screen would contain charts showing the parent's activity level in different rooms on any given day.
A low activity day may be just fine. She took it easy, kicked back, read the Sunday newspaper. Weather was bad, she didn't want to get outside anyway. But if you saw multiple low activity days in a row, then you might be concerned that she wasn't feeling well, maybe she was suffering from depression. On the other side, just as well, a high activity day may be just fine, but if you saw lots of those in a row, it might be indicative of wandering behavior or some sort of nervous behavior associated with Alzheimer's or some sort of cognitive decline.
Georgia Tech researchers are also working on a memory assistant. It would keep video records of certain things, such as a person's hands in the kitchen. So if, for example, an elderly man starts to cook something, then leaves, comes back, and doesn't recall what he was doing, a TV screen would show him. Another system would make sure he takes his medication. Video screens or audio speakers would remind him in whichever room he's in. And a camera pointed at the medicine cabinet would be able to tell whether he has taken it. Two other researchers are hoping to take that idea even further. MIT professor Alex Pentland is working together with his sister, Dr. Alice Pentland of the University of Rochester. They're developing a computer program that could answer medical questions out loud.
So that's something that you can talk to your house about problems that you perceive, and then your house can talk back to you.
Your house would talk back to you?
Yes.
How would that work?
Our vision is that if you have some chronic condition, say asthma, and the pollen is fluctuating and you say, boy, you know, I'm a little short of breath today, what can I do? The information will be in the machine to say, well, your doctor said some more theophylline would be useful today, because it'll have counted the pollen. It'll also know your respiratory rate and be able to say, aha, yes, there is this amount of decompensation, and here are the parameters within which this person's physician said it would be safe to manipulate this assortment of medications. And you don't have to go to the doctor and get listened to or anything like that.
The Pentlands are also working on what they call a smart mirror that would analyze a person's skin to check for moles, and a gait monitor that would notice changes in the way an elderly person stands or walks. In both cases, the system would inform the person if there is a problem. All of these innovations carry clear benefits, but they also introduce new dilemmas. What if the system makes a serious mistake? And also, there's the question of privacy. Alex Pentland points out all these gadgets together run the risk of becoming Big Brother.
I mean, they might collect very personal things, like how often you eat, how often you go to the bathroom, how happy are you, how active are you. Those are things you really don't want to be spread around, and you want to make sure that you own it and control it. And that raises, of course, issues of, well, if you have all this medical record at home that you've built up, how do you share that with your doctor? And how do you do that in a way that, for instance, doesn't triple your insurance rate or get you kicked out of your apartment because your landlord now thinks that you're a danger to yourself or something like that?
While researchers say they're trying to build in safeguards to protect an owner's privacy, they're also quick to point out that their focus groups of elderly people have responded positively to the ideas for all this technology. So has big business. Georgia Tech's Elizabeth Minot says numerous technology giants are investing in this research.
Many parts of industry see the home as the next frontier for a number of different types of technologies. Office places are kind of passé.
MIT professor Alex Pentland.
There's a sort of, I call it a demographic imperative about this. The number of caregivers per elderly is going to drop by a factor of 4 in the next couple decades.
Still, all the time and money put into developing this technology is risky. Since no one's had the chance to try out the products yet, it's not clear whether anyone would buy them. Some of the gadgets might cost about as much as exercise equipment or a laptop computer. If they allow people to stay at home instead of going to a nursing home, they could help save money. And it's possible insurance companies would foot some of the cost. But price and other issues aside, Alex and Alice Pentland say the elderly are not typically quick to buy or use complicated technology.
So one of the challenges is to make the technology be about as simple as, you know, putting on a watch or wearing a brooch or turning on your alarm clock. If it's a lot more complicated than that, people won't use it. Forget the elderly. You know,
anybody.
Anybody.
It could be more than 10 years before any of these products is available on a broad scale. And for the baby boomer generation, the technology could be just in time to offer a more self-sufficient lifestyle years after they retire. For NPR News, I'm Joshua Leves in Atlanta.